Hi, good vach, and Chag Ba'Omer Sameach, even though it's a little bit late, right? Sorry, Chag Ba'Omer? I guess it works. People should say Chag Ba'Omer. Anyway, this is Yisachar Wartel, and this week's Parsha is Parshat Behar, not Behar Bechukotai this year. Again, another potentially double Parsha that's split into two Parshiot. So this week is Behar, next week is Bechukotai, unless you're in Eretz Yisrael, in which case they'll still be different for a little while. So let's get started. Before I get started, once again, I want to mention that this year is sponsored in loving memory of Sarah Bala but Menachem Mendel. May her neshama have an aliyah. Might as well also for the 24,000 students of Rekiva and, of course, the 45 Kedoshim who tragically passed away in Lag BaOmer last year. All right, so moving forward. So this week's reading is Behar, but it does connect very well with Bechukotai. So I'm going to be talking about some inyanim that actually have to kind of deal with both Parshiot. So you can, I guess, bear with me to come up with something different for Bechukotai next week. But this one really ties in both together. But in the beginning of our first Parsha, which is Behar, which is our only Parsha this week, this year, after speaking of Shemitah and Yovel, the Torah writes, V'asitim ha'chukotai v'yashmishpatai v'tishmeru v'asitim otam v'yashavtim ha'aretz lebetach. And you shall perform my chukim and mishpatim, and you shall keep and perform them, and you will dwell on the land securely. Now, a very set of similar set of psukim appear in next week's parsha, Bechukotai, which is in Bechukotai teilechu, et mitzvotai tishmeru v'asitem otam v'yishavtem levetech v'yartzachem. And if you will go in the way of my chukim and my mitzvot, you shall keep and you will perform them. Then you will dwell securely in your land. So there's a lot of similarities between those two psukim. Now, the similarities are actually pretty obvious, but what's interesting is they're actually much more so the differences between the two. Now, the first statement, the one in Parshat Behar, mentions chukim and mishpatim, whereas the second statement mentions specifically chukim and mitzvot. All right, now, I'm just going to get into one of a couple different explanations. There's many, many explanations as to what chukim, mishpatim, mitzvot, and all of these things are in the context. Generally speaking, a chok is a law that we don't have a logical reason for that we do not know the answer for. Mishpat are more like legal type laws. Mitzvot generally refers to mitzvot in general. However, mishpatim can also refer to mitzvot in general. So assuming the mishpatim are referring to mitzvot in general, what is the difference between the first pasuk where it does say mishpatim and the second pasuk where it says mitzvot? So in addition, there's a second difference between the two psukim, which is the verb that's selected to accompany the term chukim. In the first instance, it's speaking of doing or performing the chukim, but in our second case, the Torah speaks of going. Why does the Torah choose the language of perform in the first instance rather than go, especially as the term of perform appears in the pasuk just a few words later? And we have a third question. Our first statement mentions dwelling in the land, whereas the second instance mentions dwelling in your land. Why the difference? So, as I've mentioned before, not certain if I mentioned this in my Divrei Torah that I've spoken, but certainly in my written Divrei Torah, the term mitzvot connotes the worldly responsibility of a Jew. The Jew has to recognize his heightened responsibility and must monitor all of his actions. Now, by Shemitah and Yovel, where these psukim occur, there are brief periods of special commitment that deal primarily with strict observance rather than general behavior, and therefore the term mitzvot is not absolutely necessary. They can use the term mishpatim, because they're more specific constructs dealing with these specific laws of Shemitah and Yovel. But by our second case, where the Torah seems to be speaking of overall commandments and responsibility, it is in fact clear why the term mitzvot would be used. But the term mishpatim could also be used, so why is it not? Now, mishpatim can refer to social or logical commandments, as opposed to chukim, which are seemingly illogical, even though they obviously are on a level we don't necessarily understand. But another way of looking at mishpatim are what the mitzvot that are primarily contained within parshat mishpatim, which are namely laws between man and one's fellow man. I therefore suggest that perhaps why the term mishpatim is not included in our second pasuk in Bechukotai is because they should already be ingrained in a proper Jew. We should be imbued, especially by our parents growing up, with a lot of, hopefully, unfortunately it doesn't happen nearly as often as it should, but we should be imbued with derech eretz and proper midot and proper ways to act between us and friends, peers, even people we don't like, but our fellow man. It should be given that a person acts properly with another, and that the hard part should only be the chukim and the mitzvot of greater responsibility. So in fact, when our parsha introduces the tochacha, which are the admonition and punishments, it not only includes the term of mishpatim, but says the im mishpatai tig'al nafshechem, which can be translated as, and if your being rejects my mishpatim. One's being should have mercy and kindness to others built into it. You shouldn't have to have Hashem tell you. And this is in addition to, of course, whatever spurning the people might be doing of Hashem's commandments that led to the horrible punishments that were mentioned in the admonitions in the Tochacha. Now, addressing the double language of Asiyah, which is performing, used by Shemitah and Yovel, the second usage seems to be pertaining to the Mishpatim, which perhaps is included, as there is social responsibility towards one another in difficult times. And Shemitah and Yovel would effectively, even though they're commanded by Hashem, be a difficult time. There will not be a lot of food to go around, because it's 2 years in a row where you're not allowed to plant. And therefore, assisting other people will be crucial. So in this first pasuk, you will definitely need the term Mishpatim, which, as we said, seemingly has a big impetus to make sure we keep the laws between a man and a fellow man. We have to make sure to help others. And it's not enough to keep the Mishpatim, but also perform them, right? The language of perform, or asiya, may simply be used by Chukim here because the laws are so good. We understand why perform is used by Mishpatim, because we need it to become part of our character. They have to be the way in which we act. It's asiya, right? We have to do them. We have to, they're literally acts of kindness, acts of assistance, acts of whatever it might be, right? So it makes sense to do the lesson of performing, doing, right? But why by Chukim? And perhaps because the laws of Shemitah and Yovel involve a specific aspect of guarding and participation, and therefore there has to be, especially by the courts, there has to be some implementation to make sure people are keeping up with even certain aspects that we don't necessarily understand. But in the other case, we're just talking about the Chukim just in general, referring to the mitzvot in general that we don't necessarily understand. That's a much broader context, and therefore the Torah says to go in the walk, go in the way of Hashem, follow Hashem's ways. You might not understand it, right? You might not be able to even do something specific, or you may have to do something specific, like, you know, whatever certain aspects of Shatan is, or back in the time, you may have to become pure with the Paraduma. But ultimately, it was in a manner of being like, Hashem said to do that, Hashem said to do this, and that's what I'm going to do, and it's right. So it's more of a manner of when you're looking at mitzvot in a broader context, when you're dealing with the Chukim, we have an awe and a reverence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, and we keep that in mind, and that's the way we're going to be keeping our lives, living our lives, and if that involves, you know, keeping all the Chukim, then that's the way it is. Now, our third question, just to remind you, it's been a while, what our third question was. Our third question was why it says in the first pasuk, dwelling in the land, whereas the second pasuk says dwelling in your land. So that one's perhaps a bit more difficult, but I'd like to suggest an answer. By Shemitah and Yovel, the laws are dafka. They're specifically a function of the land. Shemitah and Yovel cannot take place outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's something that's inherent to the land of Eretz Yisrael. These laws don't exist outside of the land, right? By Shemitah, the produce, and to some extent the land itself, it becomes temporarily ownerless, and it's not your land. It, in a sense, goes back to being Hashem's. I mean, everything's really Hashem's, but in that sense. By Yovel, a person may actually be forced to give up his own land and have to return it to his original owners. And therefore, it's classified as the land because it might not necessarily be yours. It's the land of Eretz Yisrael, and it has to go wherever it needs to go. But in contrast, ongoing responsibility of moral, ethical, and divine relationships, laws, and all of the just mitzvot in general, when you're dealing with the mitzvot in general, especially, you know, ones in Eretz Yisrael, they're a function of your land. What are you growing? You have to give your tithes. You have to, you know, leave sheaves in the field. You have to not grow orla, mixed crops. I mean, you're not allowed to eat orla, you know, the mixed crops. So a lot of it is your land. And some of these, like kilayim, mixed produce, are even apical outside of the land. One may have obligations wherever you are, regardless of where your land is, right? I mean, obviously, there's a lot more in Eretz Yisrael, but these are more in the broad context. And wherever you have land, which could be literally wherever your feet are, wherever the ground you're standing on, it might be your home, the land that, you know, where your home is, your house is situated, no matter where you are living, you know, you must go in Hashem's ways. It is not an option. So we have to remember that our obligations as Jews and human beings are present wherever we are. And that applies both to between our fellow man and as well as between us and God, right? Then special obligations arise in the Holy Land, the land of Eretz Yisrael, which is especially true this year, which is a Shemitah year. And we should be zocha soon to experience a true Yovel, right? So we have Shemitah. We don't have Yovel yet. So may we experience a true Yovel with the coming of Mashiach. Shabbat shalom.